Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, February 28th edition of Byers & Company. In this hour, Dan Calkins, he's running for state rep, 101st District, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, and so much more. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
All right, here's the full story, Jeff. Dick's Sporting Goods is, by the way, the nation's largest sporting goods retailer. I mean, it is the biggest. They're going to stop selling assault-style weapons. Do you know what that means? Okay, the AR-15.
Right.
Beyond that, what does it mean?
It's anything that looks like it's a tactical weapon that the military would use.
Okay, so it's just how it looks, not how it actually performs or anything else.
Right.
It has nothing to do with power.
Nope.
So they'll still sell something deadlier than that by description.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It makes no sense.
And they won't sell it to 18-year-olds. I heard somebody the other day go, "Yeah, a gun, an angel." What about people who join the military?
I was going to say, yeah.
Do we wait for them to turn 21 before they get a gun?
Or ban them from joining the military before they turn 21?
Yeah. I never want to be seen as making light of this. I really don't. No. But I look at some of the national narrative that's going on, and then some of the companies that have reacted the way they have reacted because of the pressure that has been put on through social media and other places, and I think, where are the grown-ups? I mean, I get you're never going to console the parents of these 17 kids. I mean, I understand the heartbreak they will live with the rest of their life, and you can't even expect them to be rational.
Right.
You can't.
No.
Because of the emotion involved. But where is everyone else, including the people that run Dick's Sporting Goods? Now, if you want to change your policy, it's America, change your policy. People will react or they won't react. They'll support you, they won't support you, and we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Hertz and United and all these companies that have knee-jerked to this reaction with the NRA, you notice who didn't attack the NRA or even come close and did not make capital facts the way our interview with Seth MacMillan did was Andy Menar. He sat there and kowtowed to the NRA because he knows all the people in his district
right
are legal gun owners and hunters, and they're insulted that you keep comparing them to this kid with all these emotional problems who shot up this school. They're insulted by it.
Yeah.
That as if you are just having an NRA card one step away from being a mass killer. I don't want to believe the national media believes that, but that's the way they act.
That's exactly the way they're portraying it.
All right. Dan Calkins is in the studio. He is running for state rep. You sent out a press release after this happened, this Valentine's Day school shooting. Did you see the story about this study that says basically schools are safer now than they were in the early 90s?
I saw that last night.
Yeah. Do you buy that?
Well, I think the physical structures are safer. I think we're more prepared than we were in the 90s. There are schools that are doing active shooter drills. You know, we have the Jeff DeVore and the group here in Decatur that have gone around and done active shooter drills in schools and churches. So from that standpoint, perhaps, I mean, physically, we're safer.
Well, would you believe that more kids die on bicycles and in pools than gun violence?
Oh, absolutely.
In schools. So there has to be some context to this conversation. And when you look at Florida, and this is what we were talking about the other day with Andy Menar's opponent, Seth MacMillan, is if you look at the, whether you believe it's 23 or 26 or 42 different times or 45, you know, the numbers are all over the place of time law enforcement was called to this kid's home. The number of calls into the FBI, the social service workers, you know, all of the ways the system could have worked. Do we really believe that Dick's Sporting Goods, by doing this, is going to stop this kind of thing?
No. I mean, it's a simple answer of no. And this is the left in this country and the media that support them have been after, you know, gun control for, you know, decades. And this is just Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go unused.
Or waste a crisis. Yeah.
I mean, and that's what we see here.
So your press release that you sent out from February 27th put metal detectors in every school.
Yes.
Okay, who's going to man those, and how do you pay for it?
Well, that's a very good question, and you pay for it with the state money. You don't expect school districts to pay for it.
But there's not enough state money to do, according to education folks.
Yeah, well, it's not coming from education. It could come from public safety. It could come from other sources. Trust me, I can find $20 million in Springfield to pay for metal detectors in every school.
Okay. Enforce everything. Begin doing what laws already state and must be done, and do so like our children's lives depend on it. What do you mean by that?
We have laws on the books that prohibit people from getting weapons. We have laws on the books that mandate reporting of issues back to the federal government so that they don't purchase weapons. We have laws on the books, people that use a gun in a crime. We have lots and lots of laws on the books, and they need to be enforced. They need to be strictly enforced.
All right. Without getting into, obviously you're running for office here to serve in Springfield and not in Florida, but it certainly looks like many people fell down on the job. This isn't something that falls through the cracks. This is like dereliction of duty, right?
It's almost like somebody didn't care. I don't have an explanation for it, Brian. I mean, they're taking their lumps down there. We're up here trying to, you know, win an election, win a primary.
I know, but no one wants to have this happen. I mean, I would like to start with the fact that no matter what your political stripe, no one wants to have this debate about what happens with a school shooting. I think everyone would like to eliminate that. Yet there seems to be, with the national media, as you noted, and I couldn't agree more, this narrative that it's just all good or all bad, and in one side versus the other. How can we not all be on the same side of wanting to keep kids safe?
Well, I think we all are on the same side of wanting to keep kids safe. It's just, do you use this tragic incident as another means to enact gun control? You saw what happened in Springfield yesterday. It's the Democrats are pushing through bills that are absolutely just...
All right, what happened yesterday, and what's your issue with it?
Well, they're passing bills in Springfield that go after dealers, gun dealers. They're going after all kinds of things. I mean, the Democrats are using this tragic incident to push their agenda, and really they should be concentrating on turning the state around. They should be concentrating on cutting waste and abuse. They should be concentrating on putting a budget together. You know, the things that we can do in Illinois to make our state better, it's just piling on. It's doing things for political expediency.
All right, can I ask you about the other side of this? You know, because the slippery slope argument mm-hmm. gets made a lot. Is there any legitimate reason to have bump stocks?
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, even the NRA has said... Right. They're not opposed to banning these.
No, and then you talk to Dan Cooley down at the Bullet Trap, and he'll tell you exactly the problem. I mean, bump stocks are I don't know. I think they were originally conceived for handicapped shooters,
mm-hmm.
people that couldn't pull the trigger so that they could, you know.
Or load the next round or whatever.
Load the next round.
And if you talk to people who know anything about guns, they will tell you that only in Las Vegas, where you had a sea of humanity 400 right. yards away, would you be able to hit anything.
Hit anything with them.
Right. But so at the same time, let's not argue, okay, get rid of them.
Get
fine.
Rid of them.
Nobody's going to miss that.
No.
Do we need magazines that hold, I mean, does the average citizen, you know, who's got a gun in their home for protection or they're a hunter, do you need magazines that hold all of these bullets?
30 rounds.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's more for target shooting and practice.
I know, but is are we without our Second Amendment rights without those?
I don't know. I would not be for trying to restrict magazines. Just like anything else, they're so prevalent, you'd never get them out of here. But here's a proposal that I would make to the Democrats. Tell us what you want, how you want to address this issue, and then let's do like the Hyde Amendment. No more Second Amendment laws. No more attacking the Second Amendment. Tell us exactly what you want. This addresses the slippery slope because it seems.
But why isn't the argument just getting rid of guns? Because to me, it's either but that is, you know, why not just come with that argument?
Oh.
Because that's the only thing that you really have at the end of the day if you're against the proliferation of guns or against the Second Amendment is get rid of guns.
Well, if that's I think is my point. Tell us what you want. Let's have the debate. Let's pass a law, but then also let's also make it a federal law that we're not going to address this anymore. You know, that stops the slippery slope. What we have is that the Democrat Party, the left in this country, continue to pick and pick and pick away at our rights, and the Second Amendment is one of them. And this argument goes on and on and on. Let's fix it. Let's have a debate about what needs to be done, solve it, and then put into code, and, you know, like we did the Hyde Amendment on abortion, not public funding abortions. Let's put something in a law like that, that we're not going to go back and redo the Second Amendment year.
I'm not surprised about the Second Amendment, because this has always been the case. You can go back 30, 40 years. This has been the debate between the left and the right in this country. Right. And not all the left, because there's plenty of Democrats in this part of this country that are legal gun owners and hunters and sportsmen that feel the same way you do about this. But what's more surprising to me in this country is the going after the First Amendment by the Democrats. They used to be the free speech people. I mean, the ACLU. What has happened to that?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to, that the First Amendment has been under attack. We're seeing Evil Corp, monitoring what we say on the Internet, taking people down, taking their websites down, taking their blogs down. You know, it's a concerted effort. And I don't know that our framers would recognize, you know, this country today and the Constitution that they wrote to protect the citizens and the Bill of Rights. We've gone way past what I think is rational and reasonable.
All right. So let's talk about the issues you're hearing about when you knock on doors or you go to fundraisers or you meet people for the first time. You've been around this community a long time, met a lot of people, but you meet somebody and you say, hey, I'm going over there. I'm sure the first thing they say is, well, you're crazy. What the hell? Why would you even want to be over there? But then what do they say? I mean, what are you
hearing?
Once
we get past the introduction.
Once they get past the introduction phase, what are you hearing from just the folks?
I think that what I'm hearing is probably the same thing that everyone that's running here is, and the people of Illinois, we're united. 80% of the people in this state took part in a survey that said we're headed in the wrong direction. It's not partisan. And I talked to Democrats, I talked to Republicans, I talked to independents. And there's really four things that I hear about other than Mr. Madigan. I mean, Mr. Madigan's the first thing. What are you going to do about Mr. Madigan? Well,
Is he going to survive this whole sexual harassment deal? Not that he's accused of doing anything, but staff and people around him are. I know there was a press conference yesterday, a little ad hoc sort of, where he took some questions. He said he's not stepping down. Will he survive this?
Well, here's the other way that this can play out. In the fall elections, every Republican will use this as an issue to beat up a Democrat that stood by Mr. Madigan rather than doing the right thing. Protect the women, the workforce, the people that work for the Democrats, work for anyone.
Are they vulnerable on this issue in particular?
I think so.
Here's what the party says they stand for. And then we get to hear the tape recordings with J.B. Pritzker and Rob Blagojevich talking about African Americans like they're just checkerboard pieces. And then we see, the party of women, and then you peel back the onion a little bit and you see the way people have been treated. Are they vulnerable with these types of social issues, which they've been so strong on? I mean, this is generally what they use to beat up Republicans.
Well, they beat up Republicans on family values. Yeah. And we have a Republican somewhere that's elected official that falls, and they jump on that to blame all Republicans. They stand up for women's rights, and that's what they say they stand up for, and yet you see time and time and time again that they've let these incidents go unpunished, I guess is a good word. I think they're very vulnerable in this environment. I think that any Democrat, House of Representatives or Senate, but the House particularly with Mr. Madigan, that does not stand up to him, does not stand up for the women that have been taken advantage of by him, not necessarily him personally, but by his machine, are going to be vulnerable, because I think it will be an issue in the fall, and it could flip seats. And we know we flipped 5 seats the last election. We can flip another 7, 8, 9 seats in this election, and Mr. Madigan doesn't have the votes to beat us.
All right, let me ask you about that, because in my opinion only, I feel like the Republican Party in this state has been complacent as hell for the last 10, 15 years, maybe even beyond that. Been happy to be backbenchers, get your committee seats, get your stipends. No one seems like they ever really wanted to actually try to become a majority. Is that unfair?
Yes, I think it is. The problem has been that the way the districts are drawn and gerrymandered, It's very difficult, and you've seen election after election, the incumbents get returned to Springfield.
Yeah, but I've also seen who the Republican Party chooses to support or not support financially, and I can't. I scratch my head.
Well,
remember what was the guy with the bad wig that came through here? You know who I'm talking about.
I don't know.
No, come on, Lindsay. The guy that ran against Sue Scheer. Was it Sue Scheer?
No.
Or was it Andy Menar?
I'm trying to remember.
Well, no, we had Linda Little ran against Andy.
Okay, not Linda. It was what Mike? Or remember? Don't you remember the mayor?
Bell?
Yes, Mike Bell.
Oh, yeah, he did run against Sue Scheer.
And Mike got Bell. A ton of money.
Yeah. Well,
now, I mean, seriously, Dan, I mean, I met the guy for 5 minutes, and I wouldn't write him a check for $25. But yet, we had Dennis Shackelford run before that, and the Republican Party didn't do anything for him because he wasn't an insider. He didn't have somebody's pocket. I mean, that's the part of what's wrong with Illinois on both sides of the aisles, this entrenched sort of, well, you know, he helped me, you help. I mean, that's still a problem, right?
It is, in a way, but it's not. And I think it has a lot to do with gerrymandering of districts. It's very difficult to find someone that will stand up to an incumbent and take them on head on. We're seeing that. I think you're seeing Illinois Policy Institute has been working for almost 2 years to recruit and train Illinois Opportunity.
Yeah, but I still go back to Adam Brown, who beat Bob Flyder.
Right.
You know, and all that argument could have been made against Adam Brown, you know, that there's no way Bob's, you know, and Adam Brown worked it. You know, what we had against Sue Scheer was Dennis Shackelford worked, but he didn't get any support. Mike Bell got all the support and didn't work. I mean, if you combine those two things, you can beat someone.
You can. Adam Brown was the third challenger in that district. You know, remember before
Mark
that?
Scranton.
No. The two previous elections,
We
went after Flyder. We had the guy from WAND, and we had Dick Kane. And then we
I know
had
Dick Kane. Oh, Scott England.
Scott England.
Yeah.
Scott ran a great campaign and was doing well. And
yeah, but they put that Weird Al Yankovic photo out there.
They did, but also Madigan had to put several $100,000 in at the end. The same thing with Dick Kane.
So you think the Republican Party's really been trying hard?
I think that.
You know Tom Cross.
I don't know Tom Cross that well. I mean,
but you ever get the sense? I remember we were at the airport at some sort of gathering at the main hangar restaurant years back, and I asked him, why are you not going after Blagojevich? And he goes, you think we need to be tougher? I'm like,
well, that's a.
Clearly before our esteemed governor landed in jail. But yeah, I think maybe a little tougher would be.
Would have been called for.
Yeah. So you're optimistic about the future of the party?
Yes, I'm optimistic about the future of Illinois.
Okay, you've really?
Yes.
Why?
Because we're going to see a sea change in Springfield next January.
And will you get anything done if you do? Because the last time that happened, in fact, the only time it happened, they worried about whose office was going to be where, let's order new chairs. They did anything but actually govern, which is the problem with Republicans. You know, they often will go, you know, we got to usurp the power. And then when they do, all you get is enamored with the power.
Well, I was there when the Republicans took over the House and Dwayne Nolan was there. And I did a page for a day with Dwayne, and I sat there and I watched the proceedings, and I looked at Dwayne and I said, you know, you're treating the Democrats like they treated you, and that's not going to end well.
And it didn't.
2 years later,
it was a very short victory.
2 years.
All right, stick tight. We got to take a break. Dan Calkins is in. He's running for the state 101st. There's three opponents in this race. I'm sorry.
Two opponents and me.
Okay, there's three people on the ballot that you get to choose from. One of them will move on in the fall. We'll take a quick break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Chance of seeing some showers this morning, then as well after 2 p.m. today, cloudy skies and highs near 56. For tonight, showers, thunderstorms, lows around 47. Tomorrow, we're expecting some showers likely before noon. Then we're going to see some sunshine with temperatures falling to around 42 degrees by 4 p.m. And Friday, sunshine highs near 47. It is 50 degrees right now in downtown Decatur.
Jackson, Ford of Decatur, everything you're looking for. Jackson Ford Indicator is your automotive authority. They bring you the best deals in town. Deals like a 2018 Ford Escape S for just $299 per month, all fees included. Explore the amazing features of the all-new 2018 Ford Escape S at JacksonCars.com. Take a look at the 2018 Ford Fusion SE, payments just $325 per month. Shop JacksonCars.com and choose from their wide selection of over 600 cars and trucks. If you're upside down and still owe thousands on your old car, Jackson Ford can help you out of it, so you can start driving a new Ford today. Jackson Ford takes care of you and your new vehicle even after the sale, with up to 3 free oil changes on any new or used vehicle. That's why Jackson Ford is your automotive authority.
MSRP $29.97 with a $2,000 factory rebate. Includes tax, title, and registration. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jackson Ford Indicator. Everything you're looking for.
In Decatur and at JacksonCars.com.
Todd Hendricks is a family man with 2 children in college, a successful small business owner, and a community volunteer as school board president and assistant football coach for 30 years. Like you, Todd Hendricks sees the problems with our state and offers real common sense solutions. Todd supports Second Amendment rights, fair map redistricting, and pension resolution, not just reform. Family, community, public servant, proven leader. Vote Todd Hendricks for state representative on March 20th.
Paid for by friends of Todd Hendricks.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Oh, Dan was a teenager when this song
came out.
Yes,
I was.
Bopping around in the studios like you're at the Limelight or one of those places of old.
So, chances are.
There you have it. Dan Calkins is running for state representative in the 101st. Have you met your two opponents?
Oh, yes.
I mean, spent any time with them?
No, not really.
Yeah?
I mean, we've been at events, at the same events. Most recently, we were in Monticello. The chamber had a candidate's introduction at their monthly luncheon. Yes, I see him. We had our picture taken together.
What are your major differences? I mean, as people have to go make this choice on primary day, why you and not the two of them?
I believe I'm uniquely qualified for this job based on my past experience, my life experiences. I'm out working every day, walking the district, talking to people, meeting people. I have, I think, a connection to this county as well that I feel I can represent the people of Macon County as well as the other four counties. But I'm a different person. I'm not a politician. I'm not looking for a job. This isn't a promotion for me. I'm not going from being one elected official to the next rung on the ladder. I'm willing to go and work. I'm willing to put myself out. I'm volunteering myself, my time, my efforts to try to make this state a better place. I think my policies are better, more refined. I understand things. I'm willing to work. I have a plan to go to Springfield. As we were talking about, there's going to be at least 25 new state reps coming to Springfield in next January. I'm willing to go to Springfield and work with all the people, Democrats and Republicans. I see what I see in Illinois, what I see in the 101st District, Brian, is we're all hurting. We all have the same problems. Our property taxes are too high. Our income tax is too high. Our roads are going to pot, so to speak, and our schools aren't properly funded. And I don't think the 101st district is any different from the 105th or the 98th, or I don't care what district you're in. If you're out campaigning to get elected, to go to the Illinois House of Representatives, you're going to hear the same things I'm hearing. And I believe that I can get to Springfield and we can take this freshman class and bring together a coalition of people that want to solve problems, not toe the company line, not interested in, I've got to do this to get reelected. But we need to solve things. And I believe I'm the person, the right person, to go to Springfield, take my life experience, my leadership abilities, and pull together a coalition to make things better for all of us.
All right. If folks want to get a hold of your campaign in these last couple of weeks before the primary to get involved, volunteer, put signs out, give you money, whatever it is, how do they do that?
First of all, I have a website, www.dancalkins.com, and I also have a Facebook page. You know, Dan Calkins for Illinois State Representative are the two best ways to reach me. We're having a big fundraiser on March the 18th, Friday night in Mount Zion. The Big in Texas is playing. The Beach House is going to cater, and it's suggested $25 donation at the door. It's our final event, getting everybody geared up to go vote. Please, please, it's very important.
All right, great stuff, Dan, as always. We appreciate it. Good luck in the primary. We'll take a break for news. Back with more.